When we take a look at the holiday of Hanukkah, the famous Gemara in Shabbos, Kaf Aleph Amud Beis, tells us, "My Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah?" And they describe to us how all the shmanim, all the oils, were defiled, and they found one cruse of oil, and v'lo hayabo elo ladlik yom echad, in source one, it only was able to light one day, and nasen bones, and there was a miracle. V'edliku men shmonos yamim, and they were able, from that little oil, to last 8 days, right? We know until they were able to make pure oil. And l'shana acharet, the following year, kav'um v'asa'um yamim tovim, they established it as days of yamim tovim, as, you know, what we call special days, holidays, festival days, behalel v'hodah, with respect to the recital of halel and thanksgiving. To which Rashi immediately notes in source 2, which is referring to the Alanisim segment in the Thanksgiving benediction. In Modim, we have the Alanisim, and in Birkas Hamadon, after Nodelecha. And that's a Hodah, and the Hallel is the saying Hallel on the entire 8 days. However, the sages did not enact a prohibition of creative labor, which is, you're allowed to do malacha on these days. So yamim tovim, special days, but not an iser malacha. So it's clear from the Gemara that the main focus of the holiday of Chanukah is behalel v'hodah, is giving thanks and thanksgiving. And indeed, the classic understanding of this in source number 6, the difference b'siklus hamoadim between halel and hodah, is halal is shehem mehem mijut yitorer hadam la'ir kol chasadim shasem oseimo. That when we talk about halal, it's like a sa'aka shalhit palot. Wow! But seiti mimitzrayim, when Hashem took us out of Egypt, a chalamish, you know, from the rock comes, sor gamayim, comes water. All of these things, sabuni gam savuni mina meitza karatika, it's this calling out of, wow, all the wonderful things that Hashem has done for us. U'bishonem ha'halon source 8, yeshet ha'odah, and we normally understand that in distinction to the halal, which is the calling out of all the wondrous things that Hashem has done for us, the hodah is v'hu ke'ein sikum sha'adam oseh ala chasadim shenasuim lo. That it's a introspection on all the kindnesses Hashem has done to him. Saying thank you is not done with raising our voice, but rather Adam Odeh B'Nachad, we thank Hashem in a very quiet, peaceful type of way on all the chesed Hashem has done for us. And that is why Shabbos is not a day of Hallel, it's a day of Hodah, Tov L'Hodos L'Hashem. It's a day of introspection, a day of solitude, of quiet, of being able to thank Hashem for all we've done for us. And the classic way of understanding is that Hanukkah, you have both aspects. You have the challah, where we sing out every morning, and you have the dah in the Shemoneh Esrei, in the benching. It's a quiet thankful to Hashem on all that He's done for us. My friends, here are our questions for today. Question number one, which is a question that always perturbed me, and that is, we take a look at Hanukkah, and you ask somebody, tell me, what is Hanukkah about, right? Sukkot, I sit in a sukkah, I shake a little vinetrok, and Pesach, I have matzah, I have a seder. Good. What is the inyan of Hanukkah? So someone will say to me, I hope, first thing will be lighting the candles. And then we have Hanukkah parties at night, and we eat sufganiyot, and we play dreidel. And then you say to this person, you push them a little bit further, and you say, great, that's how I celebrate Hanukkah at night. How do I celebrate Hanukkah during the day? Because after all, a day includes night and day. So they'll say to you very readily, well, I say halal, and I say alanisim in Shemoneh Esrei. Great. So after I finish davening at whatever time you wake up, 8 in the morning, 10 in the morning, then how's the rest of the day of Hanukkah? And then they'll say to you, I'm preparing the party for tonight. So I have to cook for the party for tonight, or I have to set up the candles for chule. How else are you celebrating Hanukkah? And they'll look at you quizzically like, what do you mean? Hanukkah's about lighting candles, not about the day. So we know, my friends, Kavum Yamim Tovim, they established the days of Hanukkah to be days of Halon Adab, which means the days itself. We need to understand what exactly are we supposed to be doing during the days of Hanukkah, not just the night of Hanukkah. That's question one. We have to also understand, this is source number 4 within this, What's the dynamics between Hallel and Hadah? What's the difference between Hallel and Hadah? Right, we know, this is the Mishnah of Rav Aaron, Source 5, that Hanukkah is the only day that's pure spirituality. And he defines Hadah as late lemi garmi le klum. Nothing is mine. It all belongs to Hashem, and thereby I'm thanking Hashem for all that I have. We need to understand these dynamics of Hallel and Hadah a little bit further. So first of all, we need to understand what is the entirety of Hanukkah. How do we celebrate it? Two, the difference between Hallel and Hadah. And three, where does the Hanukkah lich fit into this whole structure? And indeed, if you take a look, and this is source number three, Reflections, Introspection, Rosh Hashanah Satzah. Additionally, how do the lights of Hanukkah inspire gratitude? This is indeed is what we recite from the words of the sages as we light them during all 8 days of Hanukkah. These lights are holy and we're not permitted to use them, right? Ella l'rosa bilvad, and then the next line, k'day l'hodos l'halo, but to look at them so as to thank and to exalt your great name. The whole purpose of lighting the candles is k'day l'hodos l'halo shimcha gadol, right, on sechav, etc. So the whole purpose of lighting them is to exalt Hashem's name. What exactly in the dynamics of lighting the candles I feel a gratitude toward Hashem? In other words, we're to look at the lights, and this must bring us to thank and exalt His great name. Somehow looking at them kindles within us a sense of thankfulness. How does this happen? What do the lights of Hanukkah provide in the way of inspiring gratitude? So the first part of the shiur today will be focusing more so on the totality of Hanukkah. The second part of the shiur more so on the relationship between the Hallel and the Hadah and the Hanukkah lich, and obviously on both aspects to get a fuller sense of what Hanukkah is all about. Let's begin with Ben Melech Rav Mintzberg Zatzal. Gevaldic stuff. He brings the Gemara, and this is source number 9, and he says in the asterisk, Lashona Gemara kavum vasum yamim tovim b'halo b'alda. The rabbis enacted them as festive days of Hallel, of giving praise, v'hoda, giving thanks. Shekan tekana greida shechovat halo v'hoda b'yamim elo. It's not just an obligation to say it. Eleyesh kan kviya shal etzam tochnam motam shal yamim alalu. Shu yamei halo v'hoda. It doesn't say these are days we were obligated to say halo and hoda. Then indeed it would be enough just to say halo and hoda. But rather kav'um, they establish it, v'sa'um yamin tovim b'halo v'hoda. It seems like the days themselves are of halo and hoda. And here he makes a distinction, the gevaldic distinction. And he says, kol moed, every festival, yeshbo halachot shehei medinei mahusayom, there are some laws that have to do with the essence of the day. V'yeshba halachot shehei medinei mitzvah sayom. Then there are some laws that have to do with the commandments of the day. Some are the essence of the day, and some are the commandments connected to the day. Mahus hayom hu ma shenikba hayom kulo l'tochem misuyam shebo yehayom yuchad mikol hayamim. The content of the day is this is dedicated for, and the mitzvahs of the day are mitzvahs I do on that day. An example, Sukkot. The mahus hayom of Sukkot is vayitach sameach, to be happy. One of the mitzvahs of the day is the tilat lulav, to take a lulav and esrog. But the essence of the day, the entire day, is a day of simcha. U'b'chanukah mahus hayamim heim lahal avalda. The essence of the day of Hanukkah is to give thanks and praise. They are yamei halo. Not only that there's a chovan amirat halo, el shayamim heim yamim shalalo. They are days of praise. Then there's a mitzvah, hayom, just like on Sukkot, the mitzvah yom is taking a lulav and esrog. The mitzvah yom is to light the Hanukkah candle. But that is just one aspect of the mahus hayom, of the totality of the day, which is halal and hodah. That's why it doesn't say in the Gemara that the rabbis established it as days of lighting Hanukkah candles. In fact, you don't even see in the Gemara, which is talking about the essence of the day, about lighting the candles. It says that the candle, right, they found a little bit of oil, lasted 8 days, therefore they established the days for giving thanksgiving and praise. It doesn't say, therefore, they establish days to give thanksgiving and praise and to light candles. It doesn't even mention the lighting of the candles, because the lighting of the candles is not part of the mahus hayom, the essence of the day. It's just a mitzvah connected to the day. And indeed, we know by the Rambam, and this is source number 10, mitzvah ner Chanukah, and the asterisk, mitzvah chaviva hiyamro. The Rambam describes mitzvah of Chanukah as a very precious mitzvah, v'chulei. Kidei lohodia hanes, the point of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to publicize the miracle, velosif shevach kavodai lo nisim shasalanu, and to continue to praise Hashem for all the miracles that He's done. Clearly, you see that the lighting of the candles is just part of the larger rubric of the halol hodah. And that indeed is the same thing with the whole question. Is there a mitzvah to have a suda on Chanukah? So again, there's a machloket among the Rishonim. But the upshot is, if you're going to have a suda, the suda will only really be a suda of Chanukah if you have in it halon hodaya, praise to Hashem. That the everything has to be under the umbrella called halon hodaya. If you just have your family over and you have a great time and you play Chanukah games and you play dreidel and you make the most delicious latkes, that's all very nice. But if you haven't had an aspect of lahalo lahodos to give praise to Hashem and do things that are going to engender this feeling of praise, so then it's really limited on how much your Chanukah party was part of the mitzvah of the day of lahalo lahodos, right? Just in parentheses, be creative. You can take the Chanukah dreidel and you can, you know, instead of just playing with pennies or nuts or whatever you play with, you can make every letter stand for something else, so that when a person gets a nun, they have to say some miracle that happened to them. When they get a hey, they have to say some hakaras hatov of gratitude that Hashem has done for them. And v'chule v'chule, they have a gimel, gemilus chesed, some type of act of chesed that they feel Hashem has done for them. Right? And shin, secha, where they've been able to recognize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their lives. Intellectually, they appreciate, you know, Hashem, you gave me eyes to see. Hashem, you gave me whatever it is. So you can take the dreidel itself with the letters of the dreidel and make it into a lahalo lahodos, the ability to thank Hashem. Okay, your kids might roll their eyes, but try it with adults. See if they're going to be a little bit more politically correct. Therefore, my friends, we understand now in 11 and 12 the difference between Purim and Chanukah. On Purim, the Mahus Hayom, and this perhaps will make it a little bit clearer for us. The Mahus Hayom, the essence of Purim, is a day of Simcha and Mishneh. And that's why, what do people do? They drink all day, or they're partying all day, right? They're getting dressed up. Yes, there's the Mitzvah Hayom of hearing Megillah, and Mishloach Manos, and Matanos of Yonim, and all great. But the Mahus Hayom is a day of, was established of a day of Simcha, Yom Mishneh, day of partying. So likewise, just like Chanukah, the entire day people are having a great time, and within that great time they're doing mitzvot, likewise Chanukah, the whole day has to be Lahalo Lahoto. Within that, there's a Suda, which is Lahalo Lahoto. So it's Hadlakas Neros, lighting the candles, that's Lahalo Lahoto. But the essence is to be able to give thanks to Hashem. The Tamadavar, source 12, the reason for this, Shichiknu, Vikavut, Yimea Chanukah, Lahalavahodos. Why is that the essence of the day? It's clear, Kevan, Shitochan, Yeshua, Venitzachon, Vikar, Mashmut, Anais, because the essence of the miracle, Humashaya, Chidush, Havodav, Vikiyuma, Tarva, Mitzvos. It was a rededication, reinauguration of Klaiso being able to study Torah, to be able to be committed to Hashem's mitzvos. And therefore, because the whole celebration of Chanukah is about dedication, and that we had all these decrees against us, and now we're able to serve Hashem. So the whole essence of the day is a development and an increase in our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And l'shapcholu chabdo et shmo b'ilulim v'odot, and to praise Hashem for the miracles that He's done, and for the ability to be able to thank Him. And therefore, my friends, since the day of the holiday has really two aspects to it, which are found at the end of Alanisim, Ulecha asita shem gadol v'kadosh balomecha, Hashem's name became great in this world. It was a kiddush Hashem in this world, nitkadel, 13 in the bracket, v'nitkadesh ba'olam ha'idei nisim v'niflos, through all the miracles everybody saw, how Rabbim b'yamati, many in the hands of the few, etc. So that's hallow. Right, umulal Hashem, right, that Hashem is praised. Mitzrach Shem Hashem, Mavoa, umulal Shem Hashem in the Aaron 15. From the east to the west, right, everyone praises the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's hallow. That's the aspect that we say in the Alanisim of Ulecha Sita Shem Gadol v'Kadosh Ba'olamecha. And there was a second aspect. Ulam Chai Yisrael, Sita Chuagdolo Purkan Kayomazeh. Klai Yisrael were saved. Klai Yisrael won the war. And for that aspect, we have the Hodaya, we have the giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that we were able to be saved. And that is why he points out very clearly in Source 15, he says, we understand, therefore, that the Chovas Hayom and the asterisks, Bahodah Mitkayim Bamiras Alanisi. Yes, we have Hodah and Alanisim, but there's a big difference between the Alanisim in Hanukkah to the Alanisim in Rosh Chodesh and on Chol HaMoed. On Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed and Shacharis, Mincha, if you don't say Alanisim in Motim, you have to go back because it's part of what? It's part of Tefillah. So you haven't been Yotze, you're Tefillah. But on Hanukkah, you don't go back. And in fact, you can add it at the end in Elokai Netzor, at the end of benching and the Harachamaz. Because it's not a din in Tefillah, it's rather a din in what? It's rather a din in Hallel. That this is what it's about. It's about the Hallel of the day. It's about being able to give praise to Kodesh Baruch Hu on this day. And it's a din of Hodah. It's not a din of Tefillah. It's not part of the essence of the davening, but it's part of the essence of what the day is about, that I need to be able to give thanks to Hashem. And indeed, he brings down according to this, although it's not said, that let's say a person doesn't say, forgets in Alanisim to say it in Maariv, maybe you should have a Suda that night because you haven't been Yotze. The idea of Lahalalodos, and make a Suda and be able to give praise to Kodesh Baruch Hu. What's the upshot of this for our lives? And that's where I want to come to. Therefore, how do we celebrate Hanukkah differently? So he says in Source 16 the following. Ulam yish b'shelazu ta'ut yisodipa v'anad musag hoda v'hala. Part of the reason that we have this question is because we really don't understand what hoda and hala is about. Amirat milim shel hoda min ha'safal v'lachutz. Just saying thank you in a very, you know, perfunctory type of way. Einan nechshev l'hoda klal v'klal. It's really not saying thank you. Hoda'a, giving thanks, he kasher hamilim nov'ot mehargashat temi in the asterisks in 16. Real thank you comes from the depths of our being. Shemakir b'tovah shasuimu mitokah mitarer l'arvot l'metivo. I'm so appreciative that all I want to do is to give thanks and repay back. And therefore, shekadei lagi l'dargazu shaldah sarich adam l'argish shekibel tovah yoter memagilo. You have to feel like, wow, Hashem has really given me more than I deserve. It's about that I don't take anything for granted. The days of Hanukkah, which we've spoken about many times in the past, which we're not focusing in on today, are the days of tshuva, are the days of coming closer to Hashem. It's the end of the Gemara Din, it's on Tzos Hanukkah, right? That is the essence of the holiday. Well, how do you reach tshuva? Part of it is, after I said we're not speaking about it, yeah, is by recognizing all that Hashem has done for you. It's a time of introspection. It's not only a time of partying. It's a time of avodas Hashem. It's a time of rededicating ourselves. And part of this is to be able to appreciate, you know, very much of a Victor Miller's upsell mindset of like looking at an apple and seeing the seeds in the apple, going to a fruit and vegetable store and seeing all the wondrous colors, smells, textures, and tastes, being able to appreciate looking at our own selves, as we'll talk about soon, all the wonders Hashem does for me. And then when I thank Hashem for everything He's done, I don't just stop at the war or at the miracle of the oil. I thank Hashem for everything He's done for me. V'chein hala. Eina mitzvah shal maisa kriya bepeh ba'alma. Elo hu tzarich liyo pitui shal yisavruz v'regesh p'nimi ha'paretz v'yotzei min ha'leiv. B'tzura shal miras hala. Hala isn't just saying, blah, 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 and going through the hala. It has to burst forth from you with song, with passion. It doesn't matter whether you're in hala individually at home or in the shul. If you're at home, just sing hala. And allow it to just come forth from you. Meit Hashem hait azot. He niflos beinenu. Wow, it came from Hashem. It's wondrous in our eyes. Zeh hayom. Nagila v'nisvachabo. This is the day. We'll rejoice. V'katava meiri. Shemitosh shamro tamiv v'shalotani. No margish l'tarer la b'yamim sheikbalo lo'da'al nisim shirubahem. This is why the meiri says we don't say halal every day. So when we do say it, it's going to be a very passionate type of hallow, and that's the idea in 17. Says the Sefer, you may hallow Vodah. The Sefer a compilation, Musar Ideas on the Hanukkah, a brand new sefer for this year, as well as Ben Melech is new for this year. A lot of new books this year. Baruch Hashem. It's Yamim Tovim, it's Yamim Meruamim, it's days that are uplifted, days that are different. There's something different about the days. Okay, so you're allowed to work, you're allowed to drive, you're allowed to do malacha. But there's still a Yom Tov, there's still that light, that Ha'ara. There's something intrinsically different about this day. There's almost like an energy, a trampoline effect, that we have the ability to feel gratitude, to feel praise, to be able to really speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to thank Him. And that's what the day is about. The day is opportunity after opportunity of just walking around saying, well, Hashem, you know, thank you for my house. You know, I've never really appreciated it. Thank you, Hashem, for my children. Maybe not in that order, yeah? Thank you, Hashem, for, and the list just goes on. And He says, you know, in the arrow, you know, in 17, you know, give a little kid a present, a Hanukkah present, a five-year-old. The grandma comes and gives a present to the five-year-old, so the five-year-old immediately rips it open. And the parent says, you know, Moshe, say thank you to grandma and grandpa for giving you the present. And Moshe, a very good little boy, says, thank you, grandma and grandpa, for giving me the present. Is Moshe really thanking him? No, he's saying the words that his mother and father is telling him. For Moshe to say thank you, really, he wouldn't need his parents to say thank you. And even if he said thank you, he'd then run over and give them a big hug and kiss. Thank you, I love this present. It's coming from the self. That's what thank you is about. As we've spoken about numerous times, a bar mitzvah boy who gets up there and reads in his notes, thank you to my mother and father for all that they've done. It's meaningless. Put down that sheet. Speak from the heart. That's Hanukkah. It's important. Don't get us wrong. And he says this. Of course you need to have the lahalol, lahodos, and modim, and the alon nisim, and the halol of the bruch. Of course you need all that. But it has to go much more than that. Your day has to be full. The bar mitzvah boy before, during, and after the entire bar mitzvah goes over to his mother and father. Thank you so much for preparing the suda for me. Thank you so much for all you've done. Thank you so much for the simcha. Thank you so much for your dedication. On and on. You can't stop. My friends, that's what Hanukkah really needs to be in the perfect world. It needs to be days that we're overflowing with feelings of gratitude toward Hashem. As he brings down here from the Silsi Sharim in source number 18. V'kasher yitameh etzel adam godel erech ha-mitzvos v'rov chavato bahem v'day shi'tarer libo al avodah v'lo yitrapeh mimenu. V'omnam mash yuchal ladbir yitarut hazeh. When you realize and appreciate your avodas Hashem, what will help you be able to inject your avodas Hashem, your service of Hashem, with greater passion and enthusiasm? To see all the wondrous things Hashem does for us every minute. And for the moment birth onward, all that Hashem has done for us. The more you look and introspect and think about these things, you are filled with so much thankfulness to Hashem. This is Hanukkah, double squiggly in 18. Yamim sheyesh bem siyata d'shmayim yucheret liskot l'kirvas Hashem. It's times to be able to thank Hashem. It's time to appreciate Hashem, and this has to lead to a greater dedication in our avodas Hashem. When I realize all that Hashem does for me, my service of Hashem is different, my davening is different, my brachos are different, my midos are different. And that is what Hanukkah is really about. So my friends, the first part of the shiur, what is Hallel and Hodoya? What is this all about? It's about being able to appreciate that we take nothing for granted in life. And we're able to realize that this is the essence of what Hanukkah is about. It's not days where we say Hallel and Hodoya. It's days that we experience it. Days that we feel it. Days, the entire day, not just the night. The entire day is a day of saying thank you to Hashem, of gratitude to Hashem. And all of this needs to lead us to a greater avodas Hashem, our davening, our mitzvos, our mitos, everything about us is more elevated. We have a greater siyata d'shmaya, help from above, to be successful in this arena. And this is the focus of what Hanukkah really needs to be about. Not just the night, not just the morning, the entire day. When someone says to you, hi, how are you? Instead of just saying you're, you know, normal Baruch Hashem, Hodu Hashem ki tov ki lamchato, I'm so grateful for everything that Hashem has blessed me with. And inspire others to be grateful as well. Now we come to the second part of the shir. How does this fit in to the lighting of the candles? It seems to be that you have the Halon Hodah, and you seem to have the lighting of the candles, and somehow the lighting of the candles have to get you to Halon Hodah. Where's the connection? So before we work on the connection on three different levels, I'd just like to make mention of a very interesting insight from the Sukkot Shofar that Rabbi Strickroff brings it inside Hanukkah. I'll just make mention of it. It's fascinating. We know that the whole dynamics of the Hanukkah relationship between Yavan and the Jewish people really comes from the beginning of creation, where Noah had three children, Shem, Ham, and Yafet. And Yafet is Yavan. Yavan comes from Yafet. Yafta lukim leYafet. And Yavan is blessed with, from Yafet, is blessed with this beauty. And Shem is blessed with this spirituality. And Ham, passion, is the one that's cursed. Where did this all come from? So we know, we did this a few weeks ago, that it comes from the story where Noah is debased in his tent, and Ham sees him, and he tells the brothers, and the brothers make sure that they look backwards, and they cover up their father. Ham does two actions here, based on Rav Hirsch. He sees, and he tells. And therefore, Shem and Yafet, who don't see and are make sure that no one else is told, are blessed with the power of the mouth and the power of the eyes. And indeed, these two are very much interconnected in terms of Kedusha. In response to the respective actions in this episode, source 20, Noah cursed Canaan and blessed both Shem and Yefes. During the times of Hanukkah, the Yavanim were slowly losing a spark of Kedusha gained through the eyes and mouth of their ancestor Yefet. In fact, Yavanim now enjoyed playing sports publicly in the nude and encourage others to join in. As a result, when the Hashmonaim, who fought for the Torah, which represented modesty both with the eyes and the mouth, overpowered the Yavanim, they absorbed whatever was left of Yavan's spark of Kedusha. Therefore, Chazal specifically instituted the mitzvah of lighting and seeing the candles, Elolur Osam Bilvan, to focus in on that we have taken away from Yefet, and we maintain this aspect of bracha in sight, as well as the mitzvah of reciting Halon Hodah, which is filled with one's mouth. So because these were the two aspects that Yefet got and lost, because now the Greeks aren't around, and we took over, we're underscoring here both the aspect of the eyes and the aspect of the mouth, and therefore we have these two aspects on the holiday of Hanukkah, the aspect of seeing the candles and the aspect of speech of Lahalo Lahotas. Great. What is the interplay between the two, the Hanukkah candles and the Halon Hodaya? And again, how do we define Halon Hodah? A little bit different than we saw it before. Moda Labina, Rav Rotberg, source 21. And he says, to understand the key of what Halon Hodah is and then to connect it to the Hanukkah Licht, it's to take a look at Kapitel Kuf, the 100th chapter, which, by the way, some people say on Zos Hanukkah, on the last night of Hanukkah, which is the height of Hanukkah, which is the climax of Hanukkah. And the entire day of Zos Hanukkah is a day of tefillah. It's like funny, I was in a car last night. My daughter was on the phone with friends. They're talking about, you know, that she's in like 13th grade. Do they have Hanukkah? To her friends, do you have school in Hanukkah? Because they split from after 12th grade. So she was saying this, that she's off, and they were saying, you're off on the last day of Hanukkah because there's no licht that night. So why would you be off? So she said, we told the teacher, it's those Hanukkah. It's a day of davening. We can't be at school. We got to be at the hotel. We have to be at Kavarocha. We have to daven. Right? Like, duh. Right? So there is this aspect to really use those Hanukkah as a time of closeness to Hashem. End of parentheses. Anyway, Mizmor L'Todah is said, is the essence of the prayer of thanksgiving to Hashem. And we say there the following. Ba'u sha'arav b'todah, come in to the gates with thanksgiving, Chatzerotav, the inner courtyard, Betilah, with challah, with praise. So you see here that there are two aspects. There is the coming into the gate, that's giving thanks, Bo Shara Petota. Then the praise, the Hillel, is the Knisa L'Chatzrot Hashem, to the courtyards of God. What is a Shar? A Shar, in the squiggly in 21, Hi Nekudat HaMavar Me'achutz El HaPanim. It's that interface between the outside and the inside. What is Hoda'a? Hoda'a is someone who was on the outside who was able to come in. In simple English, somebody who was in a very difficult situation and then suddenly was saved. Like the four people who are obligated to give thanks, those who were in the sea, and those who were imprisoned, and those who were sick, right? These are, those who were in the Midbar, these are people who understood, Ein Zeh Bigado Klal, it wasn't in their hands. This was coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hakarazu Higufa Hodah, that's Hodah. You know what Hodah really means? Humigeta Hodah Baldin, very famous Bechad Yitzchak, Rav Hudner's Atzal. First is Lehodot Ala Emes, to admit the truth. I can't do this without you, Hashem. That's the first aspect of Hodah. The first aspect is, Hashem, I'm totally in your hands. The second aspect is, now that I appreciate I'm totally in your hands, I want to give, I want to recognize this, and I want to give gratitude to you. So that's why he says, it says, Bo Sha'arab, plural, two gates. First, it's the gate of recognition of, Hashem, I'm totally in your hands, which we say in 22, we say in this capital Tehillim of 100, Du'u, no, ki Hashem hu Elokim, hu asanu v'lo anachnu, Hashem made us v'lo anachnu. Lamed Aleph, it's a kriyuch siv, we are His and we are nothing. Because only when we realize we are nothing, once we realize that we are nothing, then we have the ability to come lahodos, to give thanks to Hashem for everything He's given us. If that's the Hallel, what is the Tehillah? The arrow in 22, Ulam Tehillah Hilul, Gidrohi Bechatzerotah Bifnim. The Hallel is in the inner world. It's in the Chatzeros, it's in the inner courtyard. That's the inner part of us. Kasher Gi Adam LaKarash Lema Kokach. When a person comes to this realization, Shakara Zot Yichnisto L'Toch Omek Sharaf Shakarash Baruch Hu, when you feel like you've entered into the inner realms of relationship with Hashem, then you can reach a level of Hillul Hashem. And that is Hidchabrut El Hashem. That's the connection to Hashem. That's the Pnimius Shebipnimius, the inner world. That's the world that brings you Hitachdut BaHashem. Hallel is recognizing the oneness with Hashem. As Yeshaya HaNavi says in the asterisk in 22, Amzu Yatzarti Li, this nation I've created, Tilati Yisaperu, in order to praise Hashem. When a person realizes the whole purpose, Shekol Yitzirato Hi Li, Amzu Yatzarti Li, when we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yatzarti Li has created the world for us, then we're able to, Azegufa Hu Tilati Yisaperu, then we're able to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the idea of the next year. They established it as times of Hallel and Hodah in 23, which means Yesodos BaHodah. The Hallel comes from the Hodah, the Hallel of Hodah. I'm able to reach this level of Hallel, of closeness to Hashem, from the Hodah, from the recognition that I'm totally dependent on Hashem. There's nothing of my own. And that I recognize that all I have comes from Hashem, that leads a person to this deeper level of Hallel. It's important to note in 25, how does this now connect to our original question? How does this connect with the Chanukah Licht? So he says that Shneim B'nei Rosheim, you have both aspects of the Hallel and Hodah found in the candles. On the one hand, there's the takana that the hadlaka saneros, the lighting of the candles in 25, is bapetach beitomi bachut, it's outside. That's the idea of the hodaya, the bisharav betoda, to be able to recognize and to acclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness outside. It's the ability to stand outside, figuratively and literally, and be able to recognize that everything we have depends on Him. All the kindnesses, all the miracles that He has done for us. However, the candles themselves, Ein lanu reshut lishtamesh b'hem, We're not allowed to use them at all. It is all about Veikus Bo Yisbarach Bovad, the candles which are a reflection of the Ner Elokim Nishmas Adam, the candle within us. This is about where I step away from the all the external things that take away my attention, and I focus in on the Dveikus, the closest to Hashem, that the candles represent. That's Kol Kulo Pnimios. That's the world of the inner world. V'inkein tamun b'neiros or Hashem Yisbarach Atzmo kivyachol. You almost feel as if kivyachol Hashem's presence is found in these candles, and therefore these candles themselves remind me. They are an epitome of the halal, the closeness that I have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So on this level, the halal and the hodah is the external to bring me to the halal, the inner world. The Neirus Chanukah are some level representation of this dynamics. Lighting them outside is the physical world, is the outer world, the Bo Shara Betoda. The candles themselves are Chatzaratav B'Tehila, are the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Dveikus to Hashem, that clinging to Hashem to mamish feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol's presence that is in our midst, and that is why we burst forth with songs, Ranu Tzadikim B'Hashem, Ana B'Koach, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Nabai L'Dovi. We sing praises to Hashem after we light the candles, because the candles themselves ignite within us this feeling of closeness to the Borei Olam, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's idea number one of what the interrelationship between the candles and Halo and Hodaya. The second idea is a very beautiful idea of Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal, a very deep idea, which really gets to the core of Chanukah. He says in 26, to gain some insight into these difficulties, it's necessary to understand the concept of lights, the ideology of the Greeks, and the underlying meaning of gratitude. First, it's imperative to know that the Greeks directly contradict gratitude. When they dominate, or if heaven forbid, one's mind is dominated by them, it's impossible to order for thanks. It's clear and simple. What does this mean? The great defilement and terrible ideology that they introduced is that the world has no beginning. It was not created, but simply is. It's not an existing entity. More precisely, their claim is that the very concept of creation is impossible. Their philosophy is absolute heresy. Their heretical thinking begins with the root of all roots. What's the first word in the Torah? Breishit, in the beginning. And that's the focus of their denial. In their minds, in the bracket of 26, there's no such thing as a beginning. Change from non-existence to existence is impossible. If a thing exists, it always existed. If it did not exist, it never existed. Certainly they can see change. This is truly correct and obvious. But they claim that all things of change always existed in some form. Everything sheds one form and assumes another form, even repeatedly throughout its perpetual existence. Change in their mind applies only to appearances, but the entities always existed. The underlying perception of the Greeks is that the realm of time cannot have a starting point. Time, by definition, includes past, present, and future, and time without past is impossible. Of its essence, time is continuation, and consequently endless. It can have no beginning, and therefore absolute nothingness is impossible. And for this reason, they deny creation. And not only do they deny creation, they deny miracles as well. The whole idea of the world is that there is a beginning. There is someone that created the world. If you don't believe that there's someone who created the world, you believe that the world existed for all time. That is the essence of heresy against what Yiddishkeit believes in. The Greeks only recognize one layer, one man of existence. According to them, if things do not exist, what we call created things, nothing exists. It'd be like saying existence does not exist, which is paradoxical and therefore impossible. And we know that the Greeks prided themselves on their seichel, on their mindset, and they prided themselves on whatever you could see, whatever you could know, whatever you could measure, existed. If you can't do all of the above, then it doesn't exist. And this is why the Sfarim point out that in the Al Nisim we thank Hashem for overturning the Greek rule, and they wanted to abolish chukei ritzonecha, the chukim of your ritzon, the statutes of your desires. What is the chukei ritzonecha? That's the essence of what they were trying to abolish. The chukim are things that don't make any sense. They are ritzonecha, the will of God. This is the core of what the fight between the Jews and the Hellenists were about. What do you mean it doesn't make sense? If it doesn't make sense, it doesn't exist. It don't do it. God doesn't exist. You can't prove God. He doesn't there. Chukei Ritzonecha is the absolute foil for this. We believe that we don't know everything. We believe that we do things because this is the will of God, even if it doesn't make sense, even if we can't prove it, even if we don't understand it. And this is really the battle between the Jew and the Hellenist. We, whoever know the existence, 28, is not the things that we see, not the things that we sense, not the things that we comprehend. Existence is so far beyond our conception. Existence always was and always will be. Existence is the Creator. His existence is existence itself. Everything else was created by His will. Everything else was innovated. Time is one of the creations. As it exists today, it consists of past, present, and future. We cannot envision time without these three dimensions. But we can never conclude the development of a thing from its existence. The way a thing comes into being is another realm entirely. Its being is by no means indicative of its manner of creation. So, for example, he brings here in the asterisk in 28, the Rambam, the Mor Menuvuchim, that points out that if you would take a person, it's a mushal, on a deserted island, it was a very astute person, and you would tell him how he was born. He never knew how people are born into this world. He would say, that's foolish. I've been here all the time. Can you imagine being a little body in a mother's womb existing on nothing? Like, what are you talking about? You think it's preposterous. Just the fact that he doesn't understand how it's possible for the baby to be born into a person, and he only sees himself as he is now, in no way means that there wasn't another existence before he existed in this form. It's just he doesn't understand this. And the Greeks, likewise, were very limited in what their understanding is. It's only what was in front of them that they could see. Within 29, the prevalent conceptual realm, there's no rule, meaning no possibility of creation, of things coming into being by natural causes. Not by the pre-existing course of cause and effect. There must have been earlier causes that brought this thing into being. And this thing will likewise cause the next thing to come into being. Everything just rushes along the current of cause and effect, transitioning from cause to effect. Such history is meaningless. Everything is automatic, since everything is established. Causes invariably bring other causes, which invariably bring other sort of effects, which also invariably bring about other effects, and everything emerges necessarily. And this explains, my friend, here's the punchline at 30. Why one who lives with the worldview of the Greek cannot offer thanks. To whom should he show gratitude? Should he thank the surging flow of the waters? The entire realm is pre-existing, predetermined, never began, never ends. Consequently, there's no one to thank. Everything's established, streaming along the inevitable course of causality. Merely continuing what was already programmed. Things may surprise him because he simply did not know that it was exist. But he could really know the entire future today. So who would you thank? To thank the surging flow merely causes someone to bring about a certain effect that's beneficial to him? To thank him would be akin to thanking the wind or the like. And there are many who do so. To offer thanks, then, is a triumph over the Greeks. This uproots them completely. They attempted to uproot the beginning, and gratitude uproots them. This is the Ramban. The intent of all commandments is to believe in God and gratefully acknowledge that He created us. This is also the intent of creation, for we have no other reason than the original creation, nor does the Lord Most High have any desire in the lower realms except that man may know and thank Him for creating him. We are here, lahodos to Hashem, to give thanks to Hashem, and no deli shmo. This is the counter to the Greeks who don't believe in a God, and there's no concept of thanks because there's no creator and there's no one to give thanks to. And that's what we were speaking about. This is Mahus Hayom. This is the essence of the day. The essence of the day is giving thanks to Hashem. As the Ben Melech says, the laws of Hallel are found within Chanukah, not by Yom Tov, not by Rosh Chodesh, because the essence of Chanukah is Lahalo Lahodos, to recognize and to give thanks to Hashem. So where does that luck of snares come in? Listen closely. It's Gevaldik. 33. A lamp is truly a magnificent artifact. A vessel is taken, it's filled with oil, a wick is placed in the oil, and the fire takes hold of the wick because of flammability, and the existing fire draws oil to itself through the wick. Thus the fire essentially sustains itself as long as oil remains in the vessel. Through its own power, it draws the oil and continues to burn. To one who gazes with the eyes of a child, the fire seems to exist the whole time, especially if proper wicks and oils are used. The oil flows smoothly through the wick, and the flame burns strong, giving the appearance of an existing reality. Without intellect, one does not comprehend the impossibility of this impression. Fire cannot exist. Fire burns. what is seen at this moment is not what was seen at the previous moment. At the previous moment, the fire was consuming the oil. Then it was consuming that. That was consuming that. At this point, it consumes the oil that not yet consumed. What burned earlier no longer exists. The fire is gone. This fire is always ending. It does not sustain itself. It consumes itself. Anyone who sees an existing entity is seeing nonsense. A continuing flame is impossible. Fire burns and no longer exists. It continues only because it burns more fuel, but it is not truly continuing. It burns anew at every moment. We look at it as an existing entity, but with the slightest contemplation, we understand that we are not seeing a single fire. The flame is a great teacher, the true face of existence. And that's why he says that Avraham Avinu saw the Esh Dolechet, the Bira on fire, the Bira Dolechet. That's what brought Avraham Avinu to recognize there must be a Ribono Shel Olam. Things appear to exist continually, but the flame teaches us otherwise. With fire, it's obvious even to our minds that continual existence is impossible. The burning flame is necessarily different experiences at each moment, since fire is no past, no future, only present. The past of fire was another fire, and the future of fire is another fire. All that there is at any given moment is a fire of the present. And that, my friend, is the message of Chanukah. We exist here only because Hashem wills us to exist. Not because of causality, not because of past, present, and future. When I look at the flames, our task 37 during this festival, to study the miracle and learn from it, how we have nothing by way of nature, how we deserve nothing, and to find ourselves integrally compelled to offer thanks, not as some esteemed quality, but as the upshot of attaining true awareness of existence. The candles themselves teach us this lesson of what it means. It engenders within us this deep feeling of lahalo, lahotos, on the deepest level, which is the basic Yiddishkeit, the view of Yiddishkeit, of to hear, to thank Hashem, hodaya, of recognizing, delayt le migarmin le klum, nothing is mine. I'm completely in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hand. When I look at those candles, it inspires me to recognize how every moment, called Neshima v'Neshima, called Neshama Teloka, I'm in Kadosh Baruch Hu's hand, and that inspires me to be able to live the entire Yantif with this mindset. Indeed, this is what we say in 38, Siftei Chaim. We light these candles and we thank Hashem, Al Nisecha, Val Yeshua Secha, Val Niflo Secha. The Niflo Secha are the hidden, the Muflos Mechusot, the hidden aspects of the miracles, the aspect that we don't even realize that Hashem is doing miracles for us. And that's the miracle of existence that we take so much for granted. Chanukah is the time to redouble our efforts to recognize that every single thing, our whole being in essence, comes from none other than the Ribono Shel Olam. The final idea of the interplay between Chanukah lights and Hallel and Lahodaya. Beautiful essay of David Cohen, Yimei Chanukah, where he notes that Chanukah is unique, that we have in 39 the level of Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Minah Mahadrin. Now, we just don't light one candle every night, but everyone lights one candle per night, per member of the family. Why do we do this only on Chanukah, that we're so makbid? So he notes, where does this idea of Hidur Mitzvah come from, to glorify Mitzvah? It comes from the Pasuk and squiggly, Ezekiel Ivan Vehu, this is my God and I will glorify Him. Zeke Levan Veyu is the whole idea of saying thanks to Hashem. This is my God. I'm going to glorify Him. I'm going to thank Him. Chanukah, and that, and the Chazal learned from there that you make the mitzvah beautiful. Have beautiful Shabbos candles. Have beautiful Kiddush Kaf v'chule. Chanukah, whose whole Mahus Hayom, as we've seen, is Lahalo Lahoto, to give thanks to Hashem. Therefore, a manifestation of this Mahus Hayom, if the whole idea of the day is to give thanks to Hashem, is to glorify Hashem, then the very mitzvah Hayom that I do on that day needs to be done. Mahadrin, Minah Mahadrin, Minah Mahadrin. Has to be done in a glorified manner. Has to be done in a more beautiful manner, because that is a reflection of what the beauty of the day is. Based on this, says the Tiva Mahatim at 41, that's not only true for the mitzvah of the day of lighting menorah, it's really true of the entire mitzvahs of the day. Every bracha we say, every psukei dezimra, every shemone esrei, every asher yotzar, every mitzvah, every mita, every ben adam l'chaveiro, Or a whole day has to be Zeke Levan Vehu. The whole day is Lahalo Lahodos. So when I do a favor for a friend on Hanukkah, I do it with an extra special, you know, pizzazz to it. I add something. I send an email to a friend. I add a note how much I miss them or how much I appreciate things they've done. It's a day of just saying thank you. That's why it's a time of sending gifts. It's Hakaras HaTov. It's just showing appreciation. Someone has backed you up a lot in carpool. Send them a gift. The teachers of your children's students. Lahalo Lahodos. It engenders that within you to be able to thank Hashem. All of our mitzvahs are done that way. Really, the whole day of Hanukkah is Lahalo Lahodos. And everything we do has to be Lahalo Lahodos. And that explains what we say in 42 in Yevonim Nikmasu Alai. Ufartzu Chomos Migdalai V'timu Kol Hashmonim. They broke down the barriers. They wanted to create Kriros. They didn't want us to have this close relationship with Hashem. V'timu Kol Hashmonim. They defiled all the oils. Oil, shemen, is what lights something. It's a shuman, it's the fat, it gives us the passion, the enthusiasm. The timu kol hashmanim, that's what they were trying to break. They wanted to break this relationship with Hashem, of hidna lefon of a mitzvah, of zeke levan vehu, to beautify the mitzvah. You have impure oil, use that. Our response of Hanukkah, and our original question, how do we use Hanukkah all day of Hanukkah in the best way possible? So yes, when you meet people, you answer, Hodu Hashem ki tov kilum chazdo, a pasuk from from Hallel, to thank Hashem. Yes, it's about going and appreciate your children in your house. It's all about that. And it's about doing the mitzvot in a way of appreciation, of passion, of enthusiasm. Brachos on Hanukkah are different. My Avodas Hashem on Hanukkah is different. My relationship with people on Hanukkah is different. I walk around smiling. I have Siyata Deshmaya. It's a whole different entity. It's 8 days of living L'malo Min HaTeva. It's 8 days living in that bubble of Hidna L'fana B'mitzvot. All I want to do, Hashem, is glorify you, is thank you, is praise you, is connect to you. That's Hanukkah. Zos Hanukkah is the climax. That's the day of real tshuva. I've worked 8 days. I'm on a different person. I'm on a spiritual high. That's Hanukkah. And that explains our final idea in 44, Almosha, also a new sefer of Shiner and Shlita for Hanukkah. We bring to our Meir Chodosh that the saying of Hallel on Hanukkah is unique. Pesach, we only have it one day. Sukkot, we one day full hallel. On Sukkot, we have a full hallel every day because those are different korbanos. But technically, you could light one light every night. Hallel on Hanukkah is special because every day of Hanukkah is special. It's not been there, done that. Every day of Hanukkah is to sing it with passion and enthusiasm as a meaningful experience. We say in Hallel, Keli Atav Odeka, you are my God and I'm going to glorify you. Personal experience. The candles ignite within me that flame of closeness to Hashem, the Shekhinah, the divine presence that rests in our home. And when I feel that divine presence, and I feel that closeness, and I feel, so to speak, that warmth of Hashem embracing me, I burst out and I say, Keli Ata Veldeka, you are my God, and I am going to glorify you. I burst out saying, Ana Avda Dekucha Brichu, I am your servant, Hashem, with song, with praise. And that's the ultimate goal of Hanukkah. The goal of Hanukkah is to use our Hallel Lahodos, our Alanisim, our Hallel, our lighting of the candles to be able to spend the entire 8 days in a different zone, on a spiritual high of connection, of closeness, of appreciation, of awareness, of being able to acknowledge and acclaim the greatness of Hashem. Afreilich in Hanukkah and Alechtig in Hanukkah.